1 Samuel 29 through 31. Now the Philistines gathered together all their armies to Aphek, while the Israelites were camping by the spring which is in Jezreel. And the governors of the Philistines were proceeding on, leading hundreds and thousands. And David and his men were proceeding in the back with Achish. Then the commanders of the Philistines said, "What are these Hebrews doing here?" And Achish said to the commander of the Philistines, "Is this not David, the servant of Saul the king of Israel, who has been with me these days, or rather these years? And I have found nothing at all suspicious in him since the day he deserted to me to this day." But the commanders of the Philistines were angry with him. And the commanders of the Philistines said to him, "Make the man go back, so that he will return to his place where you have assigned him, and do not let him go down to battle with us, or in the battle he may become an adversary to us. For how could this man find favor with his lord? Would it not be with the heads of these men? Is this not David, of whom they sing in the dances, saying, 'Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s?' Then Achish called David, and said to him, "As the Lord lives, you have indeed been honest, and your going out and your coming in with me in the army are pleasing in my sight, for I have not found evil in you since the day of your coming to me to this day. Nevertheless, you are not pleasing in the sight of the governors. Now then, return and go in peace, so that you will not do anything wrong in the sight of the governors of the Philistines." However, David said to Achish, "But what have I done? And what have you found in your servant since the day that I came before you, to this day, that I cannot go and fight against the enemy of my lord the king?" But Achish replied to David, "I know that you are pleasing in my sight, like an angel of God. Nevertheless, the commanders of the Philistines have said, 'He must not go up in battle with us.' Now then, rise early in the morning with the servants of your lord who have come with you, and as soon as you have risen early in the morning and have light, leave." So David got up early, he and his men, to leave in the morning to return to the land of the Philistines. And the Philistines went up to Jezreel. Then it happened, when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had carried out an attack on the Negev and on Ziklag, and had overthrown Ziklag and burned it with fire. And they took captive the women and all who were in it, from the small to the great, without killing anyone, and drove them off and went their way. When David and his men came to the city, behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and all the people who were with him raised their voices and wept, until there was no strength in them to weep. Now David's two wives had been taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail, the widow of Nabal the Carmelite. Also, David was in distress because the people spoke of stoning him, for all the people were embittered, each one because of his sons and his daughters. But David felt strengthened in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Ahimelech, "Please bring me the ephod." So Abiathar brought the ephod to David, and David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue this band of raiders? Will I overtake them?" And he said to him, "Pursue, for you will certainly overtake them, and you will certainly rescue everyone." So David left, he and the 600 men who were with him, and they came to the brook Besor, where some who were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 who were too exhausted to cross the brook Besor stayed behind. Now they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David, and gave him bread and he ate, and they provided him water to drink. They also gave him a slice of a fig cake and two cakes of raisins, and he ate. Then his spirit revived, for he had not eaten bread or drunk water for 3 days and 3 nights. Then David said to him, "To whom do you belong, and where are you from?" And he said, "I am a young man of Egypt, a servant of an Amalekite, and my master abandoned me when I became sick 3 days ago. We carried out an attack on the Negev of the Cherethites, and on that which belongs to Judah, and on the Negev of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. Then David said to him, Will you bring me down to this band of raiders? And he said, Swear to me by God that you will not kill me or hand me over to my master, and I will bring you down to this band. Now when he had brought him down, behold, they were dispersed over all the land, eating and drinking and celebrating because of all the great plunder that they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from the land of Judah. And David slaughtered them from the twilight until the evening of the next day, and not a man of them escaped, except 400 young men who rode on camels and fled. So David recovered all that the Amalekites had taken, and rescued his two wives. And nothing of theirs was missing, whether small or great, sons or daughters, plunder or anything that they had taken for themselves. David brought it all back. So David had captured all the sheep and the cattle which the people drove ahead of the other livestock, and they said, This is David's plunder. When David came to the 200 men who were too exhausted to follow David, and had been left behind at the brook Besor, and they went out to meet David and to meet the people who were with him, then David approached the people and greeted them. Then all the wicked and worthless men among those who went with David said, Since they did not go with us, we will not give them any of the spoils that we have recovered, except to every man his wife and his children, so that they may lead them away and leave. But David said, You must not do so, my brothers, with what the Lord has given us, for he has protected us and handed over to us the band of raiders that came against us. And who will listen to you in this matter? For as is the share of the one who goes down into the battle, so shall be the share of the one who stays by the baggage. They shall share alike. So it has been from that day forward, that he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel to this day. Now when David came to Ziklag, he sent some of the spoils to the elders of Judah, to his friends, saying, Behold, a gift for you from the spoils of the enemies of the Lord, to those who were in Bethel, to those who were in Ramath of the Negev, to those who were in Jatir, to those who were in Aror, to those who were in Siphmoth, to those who were in Eshtemoah, to those who were in Rakal, to those who were in the cities of the Jeramelites, to those who were in the cities of the Kenites, to those who were in Hormah, to those who were in Borashan, to those who were in Athak, to those who were in Hebron, and to all the places where David himself and his men walked. Now the Philistines were fighting against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from the Philistines, but fell fatally wounded on Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines also overtook Saul and his sons, and the Philistines killed Jonathan, Abinadab, and Malchishua, the sons of Saul. The battle went heavily against Saul, and the archers found him, and he was gravely wounded by the archers. Then Saul said to his armor-bearer, Draw your sword and pierce me through it, otherwise the uncircumcised Philistines will come and pierce me through, and abuse me. But his armor-bearer was unwilling, because he was very fearful. So Saul took his sword and fell on it. When his armor-bearer saw that Saul was dead, he also fell on his sword and died with him. So Saul died with his three sons, his armor-bearer, and all his men on that day together. Now when the people of Israel, who were on the other side of the valley, with those who were beyond the Jordan, saw that the men of Israel had fled and that Saul and his sons were dead, they abandoned the cities and fled. Then the Philistines came and settled in them. It came about on the next day, when the Philistines came to strip those killed, that they found Saul and his three sons fallen on Mount Gilboa. They cut off his head and stripped off his weapons, and sent them throughout the land of the Philistines, to bring the good news to the house of their idols and to the people. They put his weapons in the temple of Ashtaroth, and they nailed his body to the wall of Beth-shan. Now when the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead heard what the Philistines had done to Saul, all the valiant men got up and walked all night, and they took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the wall of Beth-shan, and they came to Jabesh and burned them there. And they took their bones and buried them under the tamarisk tree in Jabesh, and fasted for 7 days. Luke 5. Now it happened that while the crowd was pressing around him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little distance from the land. And he sat down and continued teaching the crowds from the boat. Now when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water, and let down your nets for a catch." Simon responded and said, "Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing, but I will do as you say, and let down the nets." And when they had done this, they caught a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to tear. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both of the boats, to the point that they were sinking. But when Simon Peter saw this, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. And likewise also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not fear, from now on you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. While he was in one of the cities, behold, there was a man covered with leprosy, and when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." And he reached out with his hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he ordered him to tell no one, saying, "But go and show yourself to the priest, and make an offering for your cleansing, just as Moses commanded, as a testimony to them." But the news about him was spreading even farther, and large crowds were gathering to hear him, and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. One day he was teaching, and there were some Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting there who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea, and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present for him to perform healing. And some men were carrying a man on a stretcher who was paralyzed, and they were trying to bring him in and to set him down in front of him. But when they did not find a way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down through the tiles with his stretcher into the middle of the crowd in front of Jesus. And seeing their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven you." The scribes and the Pharisees began thinking of the implications, saying, "Who is this man who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins except God alone?" But Jesus, aware of their thoughts, responded and said to them, "Why are you thinking this way in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, get up and pick up your stretcher and go home." And immediately he got up before them and picked up what he had been lying on, and went home glorifying God. And they were all struck with astonishment and began glorifying God. They were also filled with fear, saying, "We have seen remarkable things today." After that, he went out and looked at a tax collector named Levi sitting in a tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he left everything behind and got up and began following him. And Levi gave a big reception for him in his house. And there was a large crowd of tax collectors and other people who were reclining at the table with them. The Pharisees and their scribes began grumbling to his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with the tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous to repentance, but the sinners." And they said to him, "The disciples of John often fast and offer prayers. The disciples of the Pharisees also do the same, but yours eat and drink." And Jesus said to them, You cannot make the attendants of the groom fast while the groom is with them, can you? But the days will come when the groom is taken away from them. Then they will fast in those days. He was also telling them a parable. No one tears a piece of cloth from a new garment and puts it on an old garment. Otherwise, he will both tear the new, and the patch from the new garment will not match the old. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins, and it will be spilled out, and the skins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into fresh wineskins. And no one, after drinking old wine, wants new, for he says, the old is fine. James 2. My brothers and sisters, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ with an attitude of personal favoritism. For if a man comes into your assembly with a gold ring and is dressed in bright clothes, and a poor man in dirty clothes also comes in, and you pay special attention to the one who is wearing the bright clothes, and say, "You sit here in a good place," and you say to the poor man, "You stand over there, or sit down by my footstool," have you not made distinctions among yourselves, and become judges with evil motives? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters, did God not choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Is it not the rich who oppress you, and personally drag you into court? Do they not blaspheme the good name by which you have been called? If, however, you are fulfilling the royal law according to the scripture, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself," you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin, and are convicted by the law as violators. For whoever keeps the whole law, yet stumbles in one point, has become guilty of all. For he who said, "Do not commit adultery," also said, "Do not murder." Now, if you do not commit adultery, but do murder, you have become a violator of the law. So speak, and so act, as those who are to be judged by the law of freedom. For judgment will be merciless to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What use is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing, and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, be warmed, and be filled," yet you do not give him what is necessary for their body, what use is that? In the same way, faith also, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may well say, "You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works." You believe that God is one. You do well. The demons also believe, and shudder. But are you willing to acknowledge, you foolish person, that faith without works is useless? Was our father Abraham not justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected, and the scripture was fulfilled which says, "And Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God." You see that a person is justified by works, not by faith alone. In the same way, was Rahab the prostitute not justified by works also, when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. Proverbs 18:1-7. One who separates himself seeks his own desire. He quarrels against all sound wisdom. A fool does not delight in understanding, but in revealing his own mind. When a wicked person comes, contempt also comes, and with dishonor comes taunting. The words of a person's mouth are deep waters. The fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook. To show partiality to the wicked is not good, nor to suppress the righteous in judgment. A fool's lips bring strife, and his mouth invites beatings. A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Psalm 118, 19 through 29. Open the gates of righteousness to me. I will enter through them. I will give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous will enter through it. I will give thanks to you, for you have answered me, and you have become my salvation. A stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This came about from the Lord. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. Please, O Lord, do save us. Please, O Lord, do send prosperity. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festival sacrifice to the horns of the altar with cords. You are my God, and I give thanks to you. You are my God, I exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy is everlasting.